Let me begin by asking you some questions this afternoon. Imagine that you, like Hazel, were having one of those days. And it is a fact, isn't it, in the Christian life that we all have one of those days. Imagine that you've been at work in your office or you've been at work at home, but you've been interacting with your colleagues through the computer. And imagine that the tension has been particularly severe that day. Imagine that the resistance to you as a Christian has been particularly strong that day, particularly virulent, as your colleagues have ridiculed you and they've laughed at you and just made fun of you as a Christian. Imagine that in your family, your extended family, there are non-Christians. And imagine you've had a day when they've been on the phone and they've been particularly unkind. They have said things which they know to be unkind and hurtful. Imagine that your friends who are not Christians, your next door neighbors who are not Christians, have been particularly harmful to you. And in the evening you just sit and you think, I've had a bad day today. I've been under attack. There has been satanic attack on me today. And Satan has used his people in my workplace, in my family, in my neighborhood. And they have been particularly strong in their attack of me. I wonder how you encourage yourself. I wonder what things you do that will then encourage you and lift your spirit. Now, I have no doubt that you would turn to the Bible, the Word of God, and you would read Scripture, and I have no doubt you would pray, and you would ask the Lord, and you would say, you know the kind of day that I've had today. Would you, Lord, encourage me today? Would you, Lord, speak to me from your Word? Give me a promise, a word that just lifts my spirit. I have no doubt you would do such things. But can I ask you this question? Would you ever think of phoning a fellow member of the church, not to tell them what kind of day you have had, but just to say, my brother, my sister, I wanted to phone you just to find out how you were. I wonder if you would ever think of saying, I've had a terrible day, I'll go and visit a church member. And I'll sit with them and fellowship with them. I wonder if you ever think of that as a source of blessing, as a source of encouragement, as a source of comfort after a hard day. Do we ever think of ourselves, do we ever think of things like this? Well, I've had a terrible day. I'm much in need of encouragement. I'm much in need of comfort. I'm much in need of a lifting. I will go and visit somebody and ask them how they are. And as they share how they are, I will feel encouraged. I wonder if you ever think like that. Do you know that is what happened in this passage? This passage has two things in it, and I'm going to speak on them very briefly this afternoon. In verses 6 to 10, we have what I call Paul's comfort. And then verses 11 to 13, we have Paul's prayer. Now let me just give you briefly the history behind this passage, because the history is important. Paul, Silas and Timothy, three Christians, entered the city of Thessalonica and preached the gospel, and some people in that city became Christians. But they were hounded out of that city after a few weeks, and they moved on to neighboring Greek cities. So they went on next to Berea, and then to Athens, and then to Corinth. And in each place, they faced tremendous opposition to the gospel. In each place, some people became Christians, yes. But in each place, in Berea, in Athens, in Corinth, they faced tremendous opposition. And it seems very likely that this letter was written when they were in Corinth. And in Corinth, yes, certain people became Christians, a church was planted, and the elders and deacons were appointed and so on. But there is opposition to the gospel, We have one story in the book of Acts when the Jews took hold of a Christian called Sosthenes, and they went to the house of the governor, and they say to the governor, "These Christians, they're breaking the law." And the governor examined the case, and the governor said, "Look, this is nothing to do with me. This is nothing to do with Greek law. This is a religious matter." And in front of the governor, these Jews, they beat him up, this Sosthenes. And from what we can work out, it wasn't just a gentle beating up. It was quite a severe beating up that this poor man received. And the governor stood and watched and did nothing about it. Now you can imagine how Paul and Silvanus and Timothy felt as they had all these trials. In Berea, where they went soon after Thessalonica, again they were hounded out. In Athens, Paul stood in the market square and preached to the Greeks. And they laughed at him. They ridiculed him. They called him a peddler of second-hand philosophy. They say to him, "Do you know what kind of person you are? You go to a philosopher and you get his teaching. You go to another philosopher, you get his teaching. And you then create your own philosophy from these people. It's not your own original work. You're just a peddler of second-hand philosophy." And they openly laughed at him and ridiculed him in Athens. And then in Corinth, this incident with Sosthenes. So Paul wasn't having one of those days. Paul was having one of those 3 months, 4 months, 5 months, however long all these incidents took place. He was under tremendous pressure. He was under tremendous distress. He had been ridiculed openly. And we must never think that the apostles were superhuman, that when people ridicule us, we feel hurt, but when they ridicule Paul, Paul can just brush it off. We mustn't think like that. Paul was a human as we are. And when people laughed at him openly and ridiculed him and called him a peddler of second-hand philosophy, he felt it. But then in this passage, he explains what brought him comfort. What is it that brought him comfort after all these things had happened to him? Notice, please, what he says there. Look at it from verse 6. "But now that Timothy has come to us from you." Timothy, you see, was sent to Thessalonica to find out how the Thessalonians were getting on. "Now that Timothy has come to us from you and has brought to us the good news of your faith and love and reported that you always remember us kindly and long to see us, as we long to see you. For this reason, brothers, in all our distress and affliction, we have been comforted." In all our distress and affliction, we were comforted when we heard news about how well you are going on in the Lord. In all our distress and affliction, we were comforted when we heard how you are remaining faithful to the Lord, how you are walking with the Lord, how you haven't abandoned the Christian faith. You haven't turned your back on Christ, but you've continued to walk with Him. Despite your trials, you've continued to walk with Him. Oh, Paul says, this brought us comfort. Do you see what I'm trying to say? When I began with my question, you've had a bad day, where do you look for comfort? Well, of course you look for comfort in the Word of God. Absolutely right. Of course you look for comfort in prayer. Absolutely right. But here is a source of comfort that God has provided for us. Fellowship with other believers. Talking with other believers about how they are getting on. Hearing from other believers about how they are continuing their walk with the Lord. And how they are being blessed of the Lord. And how they are being sustained in their walk with the Lord. And what comfort it brings to a believer. Some of the language that Paul uses here is truly remarkable. He says a little bit later, For now, this is verse 8, for now we live. Not just now we are comforted. He uses this very strong language. He says, it's almost as if, He says, it's almost as if we were half dead. We were so discouraged. We had faced trouble in Berea. We had been ridiculed and laughed at in Athens. And here in Corinth, the governor has made it clear that we have no legal protection. The Jews can come and attack any Christian at any time. The governor is not going to give any legal protection to Christians. Christians are open for attack. This is the kind of distress we have. He's almost saying there in verse 8, we were half dead with discouragement. We hardly had any breath left in us. We were so discouraged. And then Timothy comes and Timothy says, do you know what's happening in Thessalonica? Those believers are going on with the Lord. Those believers are walking with the Lord. They've not given up on Him. Yes, they're facing trials, but they're going on and they're longing to see us. And Paul says, when we heard this, now we live. We were reinvigorated. It's almost as if God, the Holy Spirit, came to us afresh and breathed life into us. And we were filled with joy and filled with life and filled with zeal. Paul remained in Corinth 18 months despite the trials. And I think these encouragements that he received from Thessalonica must have helped him greatly in this long ministry there in Corinth. I know I keep hammering this point Sunday after Sunday, but it is not my agenda. It is the teaching of the Bible. Christian fellowship is of great importance, is hugely important. It is important in our daily Christian life to encourage us, to comfort us, to help us, to invigorate us in our Christian lives. Now, you know this to be the case. You've perhaps visited a fellow Christian and you've perhaps been a bit lukewarm in your faith, and you've gone and sat with somebody and they've shared about how the Lord has blessed them and how they're going on with the Lord, and you found yourself invigorated by that. This happens. So there is a source of blessing here, and we mustn't overlook it. Yes, Bible reading, undoubtedly hugely important. Yes, prayer, undoubtedly important. You're feeling discouraged at the end of the day. Read the Bible and pray, undoubtedly. But pick up the phone or go and see someone and just have Christian fellowship and see what encouragement and comfort that brings you. Isolation, we all know this over the last, 16 months or whatever. Isolation has a disastrous effect upon our psychology. It has a disastrous effect upon our walk with the Lord. We have to be very careful. We become very isolated, we become discouraged. Fellowship is hugely important. So that's the first thing in this passage, Paul's comfort. He received comfort and encouragement hearing news of how the Thessalonians were getting on. And the second thing in this passage then is Paul's prayer, and that is verses 11 to 13. In that passage, well, it's Paul, Timothy and Silas, they're praying together. You imagine a prayer meeting, the three men are sitting together and they're praying for the Thessalonians. Now, what are they praying for these Thessalonians? Well, there's two things that they're praying for. The first thing is that God may open the way for them to go and visit the Thessalonians again. Verse 11, now may our God and Father Himself and our Lord Jesus direct our way to you. They're praying to God the Father. They're praying to God the Son. They're praying as directed by God the Spirit. And their first item of prayer, Lord, will you open the way? Satan has hindered us. Satan has closed the way for us to go back to Thessalonica. and fellowship with those Thessalonian Christians. But we love those Thessalonian Christians, and we love Christian fellowship, and we want encouragement, and we want to be comforted in our faith. And they need encouragement, and they need comfort. Can you, Lord, open the way for us that we might visit Thessalonica again, that we might visit the Christians in Thessalonica, that we might sit with them and share how God has blessed us, and they can share how God has blessed them, and we can pray together and rejoice in the Lord together. What joy that would bring to them. It is their first item of prayer, that God would open the way for them to go and see the Thessalonians. This theme is there again, isn't it? Christian fellowship and the importance of Christian fellowship. So that is their first item of prayer, that God would direct their way to the Thessalonians. But then they have a second request in their prayer. And this request is found in verse 12. And may the Lord make you increase and abound in love for one another and for all, as we do for you. They are praying that each member of the church in Thessalonica would love his fellow Christians. And not just love his fellow Christians, but would grow and abound in love for his fellow Christians. Because love is the great mark of the Christian faith and of the Christian church. Do you know, my friends, you can have a church where the preaching is completely sound and biblical. Not an iota of heresy is heard from the pulpit. You can have a church where the music is superb, practically professional. You can have a church where the preaching is powerful under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. You can have a church which has youth ministry, children's ministry, luncheon clubs, coffee mornings, all kinds of ministries going on. You can have a church which has missionaries in Africa, missionaries in Asia, missionaries in South America. But if it is a church that is not characterized by love, where the members are always criticizing each other, where the members are unkind to each other, where unkind words are being spoken by the elders, by the deacons, by the members, where there isn't that love and that care, I'm sorry, that's just a waste of time. None of that impresses God. And may I say this, none of that impresses the world. Do you know, friends, the world isn't interested in how powerful the preaching might be. I don't think the world is that interested in how professional the music is. The world certainly isn't interested in how many missionaries we support worldwide. But the world is hungry for love. And the world is crying out for love. And where there's a group of people who love each other, who show care for each other, who speak kind, gracious words to each other, and who show practical concern for each other's well-being, the world notices and the world says, I want that. Read the opening chapters of the book of Acts and you see love in action. How the believers shared everything that they had and how they would fellowship and how they would pray for each other. And you read about the expansion of the church because they saw living Christianity, and it was attractive. A group of people who love each other and care for each other is always attractive. And people are drawn to it. And so Paul, Silas, Timothy, they pray for the church in Thessalonians that their love would increase and abound, overflow. Huge amounts of love for each other, that God might be glorified in his church. So two things in that passage. What brought Paul comfort? The well-being of the Christians in Thessalonica. What does Paul pray for? That their love might increase and it might abound. May God help us to take hold of this word and to live by it. Let's pray.